Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hi there, everyone. Thanks for tuning in for another Private Practice Made Perfect conversation. Today, my guest is Hutan Mosseini, the founding director of ClinicApps. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. We were just lamenting the internet. So we're hoping that we get enough bandwidth to progress our conversation. I had a great catch up with Hutan last week and got a few of the updates of ClinicApps. But for those who are uncertain about what ClinicApps is, how can you describe it for us?
Oh, that's a good question. Sometimes it's even difficult for us to describe what ClinicApps is. What we are trying to do is we are trying to automate those tasks in a clinic that doesn't really need human interaction and a machine can do, because there are many tasks that actually really need human. But some of them, like just sending an email to someone or sending an SMS, booking an appointment, checking them in, some of the financial transactions that they are doing, and some of those things that are just very boring, repetitive tasks, we intend to automate those. So that's what we are trying to do, basically.
Yeah. So if those repetitive, predictable tasks are automated, what do you imagine the benefit to the business to be?
That's the core of it. That's the core of machines. Like you buy a washing machine or a dishwasher or even a car, a train, a crane, or what, every machine that human being has invented is to do those repetitive tasks that used to be handled by human beings. And then when those are handed over to machines, there are two things happen. For many cases, machines can handle them better. So just to give you an example, in ClinicApps, when someone cancels an appointment and 2 days after that you want to follow up with them, many times people forget about it. It's very difficult for reception desk to handle all of those cancellations, all of the recalls, all of that. So it machines handle those much more efficiently and also effectively. So that's one thing, machines do them better. The other thing is that it liberates human beings to do those things that are better handled by humans, like improving customer experience, working and with human beings. So, for example, with electronic patient forms that we have, it takes off the work of data entry from reception desk or the practitioner, and that time that is not being used for a very boring task can be used for real human interactions, having a chat with the patient or client, or asking them how are you, or giving them a cup of coffee, or those kind of things which add more value than just doing a data entry.
Sometimes I hear that people are a bit concerned that, oh my gosh, automation, it's all high tech. That's one fear. And then there's another thing, oh, but people will lose their jobs and, you know, I'll have to manage that. But my thinking on automation is a little different, that it actually frees people up, as you've described. But I think it also lets people get on with much more interesting, creative, people-related, helpful activities. Has that been the kind of feedback you've had from ClinicApp users?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that any kind of new machine innovation is dealing with that. I give you two very major examples of that. Like checkout kiosks at supermarkets and also ATMs. Both of them, when they came into market, there was a lot of talk about people losing jobs. And the other thing was that people cannot handle themselves. For people cannot handle themselves, that's wrong for many, many people. Like, I don't really know anyone around me who doesn't have a smartphone, and like clicking some buttons and filling some forms is not really difficult, except like someone has some kind of disability or they are very, very old. Other than that, every other patient can handle that. But for people losing jobs, actually, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
So for both supermarkets and ATMs, number of employees that are in direct relationship with customers have increased since introduction of those technologies. And the reason for that is that for supermarkets, they are not doing that task, but they can walk into the supermarket. People can ask them different things, and they can work on patient experience, client experience, and that has improved sales for supermarkets. So not only it has made a better experience for the clients, it has increased revenue for supermarkets. The same thing happened for banks. They reduced telling jobs, but they actually increased number of branches because they could put more branches, more people that add more value. So number of employees have increased in banking industry because of ATMs.
Mm, yeah.
The same thing is for healthcare industry. I don't believe it's a different thing. This is the way that us as humanity are improving all the time, by handing over our tasks to machines and picking up more productive roles.
Yeah. So if we chat about the fear of technology, and I don't have a tech brain, and all of that sort of doubt that creeps in, how complicated is it to get started with clinic apps?
It is pretty complicated.
Oh, is it? Oh, that was not what I was expecting you to say. Okay. I'm going to leave you to dig out of that one.
Yeah, our platform, we are working like day in, day out to make it simpler.
Good.
There is always some kind of balance between flexibility and ease of use for user interface design. So when we are designing the user interface, when we are adding flexibility, when we are providing flexibility, so for example, we are giving the flexibility that you can choose your appointment type for the message that is going out, for example, just for that. Just to provide that flexibility, we need to add a box over there that you can choose your appointment types. And then we want another flexibility that you can choose your provider to, and you can choose your location to, and you can choose. So when we are adding flexibility to it, it complicates the user interface. So you need to push some more buttons. In essence, it is very easy. As soon as someone spends maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes in our demo session with us, and we describe what is behind it, because it is logical. It's not going to be that difficult, but it needs a little bit of effort to understand it. One other thing that we are providing to reduce that fear and complexity is that we are recruiting customer support almost every month. And we are trying to train them, and we will do many of the tasks for our clients so that they don't need to do that. So there are many clients that come, they have a demo with us, and there are two types of clients. Some of them are very large, like they have, I don't know, 200 different clinics around the world, and they just don't have enough time to handle that. So we provide them with account managers that will do things for them. And on the other side of the expert throne, we have some people that are like, there is a sole practitioner who's working and doesn't have enough time, or doesn't have enough time to learn, or doesn't have enough time to do what needs to be done in our platform. And for those also, we will do a lot of tasks for them. So all they need to do is to tell us, hey, I want my patient satisfaction tracker to be sent after first appointment. And we will set up everything for them. We'll ask them to check just the text that is going out, and when they check it, they can just click run. So it's a machine, and it has a lot of capabilities, and because of that, there are some complexities over there. But we are trying to add some human beings into there, basically improve our customer experience and help them to be able to operate this machine.
Well, let's make sure everybody keeps listening and they get the chance to discover how awesome Clinic Apps is. As I understand it, it is a program that has a membership approach to it, but it connects to the practice management software system that you use, and Clinic Apps doesn't yet connect to every PMS out there, but certainly some of the big familiar Australian ones at this point. Is that a reasonable way of describing it in non-tech terms?
Yes, that is correct. So we currently, at the moment, we are in talks with many other practice management software, but we are right now connected to NewCall, Clinical, and Core Plus. And what we do is basically we automate all the actions that they are doing inside their normal practice management. So they don't need to leave practice management software for a task to be handled. The task is automatically handled as they are interacting with practice management software. So, for example, if they tell our system, if someone did not have an appointment with me in the last 6 months, and they have no future appointment with me, please send them email or an SMS or something like that. The system does that automatically without them needing to go into our system and push any button or anything. So they set up everything, and the system works in the background based on their interactions inside practice management system.
Yeah, lots of allied health business owners forget about a really strong and respectful re-engagement strategy with their clients and customers. And to have that, I don't like the expression locked and loaded, but to have that planned and a strategy behind it, and to have it all set up and that it happens automatically, I think is an absolute win. And it's not just great for the business owner, it's great for the team. Their calendars may be filled a little more. I think it's also really, really lovely for the customer at the other end that they haven't been forgotten and that there's a really genuine message coming through, and how are you, how are things going, you know, reach out if there's anything we can help you with. It's just kind of a win on every level.
Absolutely. So our automatic recall and or reactivation mechanism works really, really well for so many clinics out there. Sometimes the ROI is so high that I saw, I don't know if your listeners know Flori in our team, she was talking with a client, and during the demo, client started the reactivation campaign. And just by the time that the demo was done, he had already made 3 times the subscription fee that he had paid us. So
well done.
That works really well. But there are some other things that like basically are impossible to handle by human being. Like, for example, we are seeing, I remember we talked about this during our chat before this, some people, like, we are seeing a lot of late cancellations happen during the first appointments. And the main reason for that is that for the first appointment, this is the first time that a patient is coming to the clinic. They don't know how long it will take from their home to the clinic or from their work to the clinic, or they don't know how to park and all of that. And because of that, they arrive 5-10 minutes late. And when they arrive, they need to fill a patient form and all that. And that will waste like 20-30 minutes of valuable calendar time that we pushed, and the next patient will be affected and the patient after that. So with our patient forms, and also another mechanism that we have, that just like 2-3 hours before the first appointment, we send a Google Map link with some parking instructions and those kind of things to a patient. It's a fantastic patient experience. Just imagine you have a meeting 2 hours before that, you receive a Google Map link. This is how long it will take to be here. And when you want to park your car, do that. It's just a fantastic experience. And we see a very good reduction in late arrivals for the first appointment, which is a very big win for clinics.
Absolutely, because often those first appointments are a little bit longer and have got a little bit more work, and sometimes have a different sort of sales price as well. So it also sets the scene for the customer experience going forward. So there's a lot at stake. So having that automated and welcoming, really, really cool. One of my favourite, I've never told you this, I don't think, one of the features I like best about clinic apps and is the birthdays. And I tell you why, because that was something that I wanted to do for years when I had my private practice, and we never ever got good enough at it, and we never got consistent with it, and it was really hit and miss. And, you know, who doesn't like, most people like to have their birthdays acknowledged. You don't have to go over the top. But once again, it's one of those unexpected customer experiences. And as we're recording this, it's my birthday in this particular month. And it's just fun watching all the messages coming in with a this and a that and a something else. No one's mentioning how old I'm getting, but they're inviting me to re-engage, and I just think it's fun.
Fantastic. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So it's another value add, and it sings to that idea of building a community amongst your clients as well, and acknowledging where they're at and what they're up to in the other parts of their lives that you don't always get to witness.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned a little bit earlier about the customer satisfaction survey. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like and why that's so good.
So that's one of the big features in our system. So it is based on Net Promoter Score. So Net Promoter Score was a score created by Bain Company. What they realized was that basically all the questions that they had in the questionnaires about satisfaction, when they were analyzing that, they were seeing that they all correlate a lot with one question. And I'm pretty sure all of the listeners here have seen this question somewhere, that how likely are you to recommend our business or our service or our offering to your friends or colleagues based on the experience that you had with us. Mm-hmm. This one particular question was working like a magic, and they realized that this is basically the best question that can be asked for understanding satisfaction. And it has been tested so widely around all industries and so many different occasions, and it just works perfectly, to the extent that Harvard Business Review said this is the number one number that every business needs to track. So our system makes that easy for everyone. So basically, they can set up the system. So some people send it multiple times after first visit, after third visit, and for example, after fifth visit. Some clinics do it only once. And it automatically tracks patient satisfaction for you. it's very, very easy to feel. And we have, especially with the SMS channel, we have a very high fill rate for it, which is surprising. And it basically breaks down the clients into three categories of detractors, passive, and promoters. And it tells you who is actively promoting the business and who is actively detractor. And you generally want to manage both of these ends. Yeah. And because of that, we have also further automation that you can talk with your promoters. Many clinics use that system. So, for example, they know someone really likes their clinic and they are happy to promote the business. So they send them some vouchers to pass on to their friends, or they provide them with some incentives. Some clinics that can do that, especially outside of Australia, or some services like massage and those kind of things, they ask them to rate them on Facebook and Google, which improves their SEO as well. And also automatically talking with detractors and making sure that why they were not happy with the experience and how. It's adding another layer of care to healthcare, and that is what I really like about it. And because it is automatic, it's not wasting any more time from the admin staff, and it just does it automatically. It reports automatically.
It's also an interesting part of looking at how a business's practitioners are performing as well. And I guess if you've got a strategy in place about how often those surveys are sent out and that you're allocating time and energy to look at the results, you can sort of start to see some patterns, and it could be very much part of an incentive program in-house across your clinical team as well. Do you know if it's being used like that also?
Definitely. Actually, it's being used so much that inside our system, just in a dashboard that we have created for our patient satisfaction, we have two boards. And one board is showing a patient satisfaction for each one of the practitioners. And we're showing also the changes since last month or last quarter, if the patient satisfaction for this particular practitioner has gone up or down. So we are showing that, and also we are doing it per location. So especially for those clinics that have multiple locations and they want to understand patient satisfaction for different locations that they have, we also do that, and it's being used a lot. Like we are upgrading that to the next level, but at the moment with the current thing that we have, it is one of the most successful features that we've had, and many, many clinics are using that. And also on top of that, because, you know, I've been a data analyst my whole life, I did some analysis on top of that. And what we are seeing is very interesting, that, for example, for those practitioners that have higher satisfaction score, we are seeing less cancellations and less DNAs.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
And the same thing is for locations. So those locations that have higher satisfaction scores have less cancellations and less DNAs and more average rate of revisits. So in this Net Promoter Score, it has worked like magic in every industry, and we are seeing in healthcare also it is working like a magic. You just increase that number and everything else just follows with that.
Yeah, and I guess those that are listening that aren't really familiar with the NPS, there's a lot written about it. It's been around for a while, and it's been well researched and well documented, and well, there's a lot of commentary on it. So, if you're thinking of heading down that track, I would be encouraging that they listeners have just a broader read for a few minutes about how it sits in the world of business, full stop. It's really cool, really good. Now, cancellations, particularly over winter, are a major frustration for business owners and for clinical teams. How does Clinic Apps help automate and fill people's calendars?
Yeah, so there are two parts. One thing is reducing cancellations, and the other one is when the cancellation happens, how are you going to manage that? Mm. So first thing, the most important part is reducing cancellations. One thing that we saw when we started a long time back, what we were seeing was that cancellations happen more often when the appointment is further away from basically today. So if you book an appointment for someone a month down the road, the likelihood of its cancellation will increase compared to if you book an appointment like for tomorrow or for the day after. And the, one of the main reasons for that is that human beings are unpredictable, and many things happen when it's when bookings are happening a long time in the future, and if they forget, they book something else, something else happens. So one thing that many clinics are doing in our system to prevent that is that, so this all practice management softwares automatically send an appointment reminder like 24 hours or 48 hours before the appointment. And those are fantastic. They work really well, but they're good for reducing DNAs, not really cancellation. So let me explain further. So what happens is that you book an appointment 1 month down the road and you forget. And just 24 hours before the appointment, you receive an SMS that, hey, you have an upcoming appointment in 24 hours, and you've already manage the lunch with a friend exactly on that time. And if you have the decency, you pick up the phone and you cancel that appointment. If you don't, you just don't show up to the appointment. So what clinics are doing is that they're taking that element of surprise out of that message. And what we call it is a warm-up message. So for those people who have booked far in advance. So for example, 4 or 5 days before that, they send them an email or an SMS and saying, hey, are you going to come up to this appointment, or you have an upcoming appointment, these are further information for you, or hey, you haven't filled your patient form, so please make sure you fill a patient form before coming to the appointment. All those things, it's just another touch point, another warm-up for the patient to know that, hey, you have an upcoming in four days. And then when they see that, the two things can happen. If they want to cancel, they have the chance to cancel right there. And that gives the clinic 4 or 5 days to fill that gap that was happening in the calendar, which is a fantastic thing. And if not, and if they want to come, then they will not arrange that lunch with their friend and they will show up. So it reduces rate of cancellation. So this is for reducing cancellations. And then after the cancellation happens, because it definitely happens, after that, there are some protocols. Different clinics have different protocols, but most of the times they give some time for their reception desk to be able to handle that by phone, or if they call and they want to cancel. So not straight after cancellation, but maybe 2 or 3 days after that, or 24 hours after that, or 6 hours after that, they can automatically send a message and ask the patient to rebook, especially those patients that cancel and have no upcoming appointment after that. So some people cancel and they reschedule. That's you don't want to bother those people, but those people who say, I want to cancel, but I don't know right now, maybe next week, give me a call and all that. For those, the system can automatically send them a follow-up message and ask them to book another appointment, which is working fantastically in our system.
And that's a great example of having the machines and the systems supporting your customer service team to get that nitty-gritty, fiddly stuff done, and freeing them up to do other more interesting things, but also managing customers and diaries and clinicians and all the rest of it.
Exactly. Because machines don't are not shy. They don't get tired.
They don't get cross.
Yes.
Actually, I think my laptop gets cross. It's just a hunch I've got.
That's right. Well, machines do that too, but we have a team that are constantly just checking them, making sure that
they're happy, patting their backs.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's correct.
There's many features of Clinic Apps. We're certainly not going to get through them all today, but tell us a little bit about the app that businesses can customize and provide to their clients and build it out as such from within Clinic Apps.
Yes. So the app, Clinic Apps started with the mobile app, and then after a while I realized that actually mobile app is not the core functionality of Clinic Apps. But we have this mobile app. At the moment, it is only working in iOS. It's not in Android. But it is a fantastic tool because it's an icon sitting in their phone. Every now and then they see it. And it has some very cool features. So one thing is that they can call you with one click. It is always sitting in their phone, and they can call with one click. So when they want to find the phone number or the address, they don't need to go open the browser and Google, because that Googling is costing clinics in two ways. One way is that then if you are advertising, every time that they click on that ad, it costs money. Mm-hmm. The thing is that when they're Googling, they will be exposed to advertisements of the competition, so that also costs money. So it is best to prevent people Googling when they want to call you or they want to find your address. So it does that. With one click, they can call and find the address. The other thing is that it gives them all the upcoming appointments and the history of appointments. So those written cards that will most of the times get lost, those are no longer needed because they can always check those there. And also they can book appointments there. It has a very fantastic chat mechanism that patient thinks that they are chatting with you, but the reality is that they are sending an email to you. And then when the clinician replies to that email, it goes back as a chat to the patient. So they are basically typing in the chat feature, but it's chat to email and email back to chat. So the patient is chatting with you, but you are replying to emails that are coming from patient. It is fully customizable, so all the branding and everything will match the branding of the clinic. And also, it is very flexible because they can open some new pages into that. So, for example, someone has an online shop that they want to be open in the app. They can just click two buttons and that will go there. Or they have a services page on their website that they want to open in the app. It just one or two clicks, they can open the same page inside the app. So it is very flexible, and it adapts to whatever the clinic wants to use it for. So it's really cool. It's definitely not the main feature that we have, but it is a very cool add-on that we are providing. And also, what it does is that it has a push notification capability, which is something between email and SMS. So it's not as intrusive as SMS, and it's not as soft as email. It's somewhere in between, and it is free. So it's a new communication channel that clinics can use to talk with their patients without sending them emails or SMS, which is also a very effective channel of communication. And it's two-way, so they can reply to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you anticipate that more and more health businesses will be wanting these personalized apps? Is this, are we just at the very beginning of it?
Not really. So mobile apps were very sexy maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. Now, there are so many apps out there that that most of people have so many apps on their phones that they are a little bit reluctant to add another one to their phone unless they really, really want to use it. So for a clinic that has many returning clients, so some types of clinics definitely this is very useful for them. But for those clinics that a patient comes and maybe has one or two appointments and they will never come back, or they will come back a year down the road, this is not something that we even recommend to use. Mm. There are so many other things in our system. So I really don't see future of healthcare being based on mobile apps. It's something that works for some clinics, and it works fantastic for those clinics, but it is not something that all clinics would need.
Yeah, interesting. What else would you like to tell us about the power of clinic apps and what it can do?
Well, we have recently launched the kiosk, which we love it. We've been working on it a lot. We used to have these electronic patient forms, which is, I can say, if not one of the most successful and important features in our system, that reduces a lot of admin tasks, and also it improves patient experience a lot because they can fill all these forms at their own convenience. One thing that was missing in this automation part was that patients having the ability to check in themselves and book an appointment for themselves inside the clinic. So because of two things. So one thing is that, again, two ends of a spectrum. I emphasize on those because everyone in between will fall into that category. So someone who doesn't want to have a reception desk and they want this kiosk can handle very, very good the check-in process and booking an appointment process for them. So the kiosk can just be sitting on a desk or on a stand, and when they come in, they can check in and it will notify the practitioner that someone is in your practice, and they can walk out and welcome them in. And the other end of the spectrum is someone who has five receptionists sitting there and handling all of the phone calls and all the tasks that are happening inside the clinic. They can liberate some of those people by handling automatic check-ins and booking appointments, because patients can just walk in, they click a button, and they check in themselves. They can book a future appointment for themselves or for that day. So that will reduce a lot of admin tasks over there. And because of the experience that we had with our patient forms, we have created a very super smart kiosk over there that automatically adapts with the behavior of each receptionist. So if in the morning a receptionist is in the habit of asking for mobile numbers from each patient, and in the afternoon there's another receptionist that is in the habit of asking date of birth, and when the patient comes in, we know exactly what questions to ask to identify them and know who exactly that patient is. And also we already know if they have filled their patient form or intake form that they have. And if they haven't filled that, we give them the capability to fill it on the kiosk. Or if they want, they can email it or SMS the form to themselves and just fill it on their phone while they are sitting in the waiting room, which is, again, another addition to providing more convenience to the clients. So, yeah, we definitely love this kiosk that we have over there.
Mm. It's amazing. I've since we spoke last week, I've had a closer a look at it, and it'll make a huge, huge difference. What can you tell us? Because we're heading towards the end of time here. What can you tell us about what Clinic Apps is working on and what you'll be releasing kind of soon?
So there are many features that are in our pipeline. I talk about two most important ones. One of them is handling financial transactions. That has many aspects. One thing is definitely paying at time of booking, but that is not the ultimate thing that every clinic wants. So that is good, and many practice management softwares are providing that because it is easy to implement. We are not in the work of implementation of easy things, so we are adding.
Why start now?
We are adding a lot of flexibility to that, so they can ask for patient's credit card at time of booking, but they can not charge them and say, okay, only charge them if they cancel the appointment. Only charge them if they cancel less than 24 hours before the appointment. Only charge them after the appointment is finished. Or don't even do anything. Just let me charge them. If they had open invoice after 2 months, chase them for me and charge the money. Or if there was no money in their credit card, send them SMSs and those kind of things. And also handling subscriptions. It liberates many clinics to provide subscription-based mechanisms.
Fantastic.
So that's one thing that we are working on. It's an early version of it will be released very soon, hopefully within August. And we will just build on top of that and we'll make it more and more sophisticated after that. So that's one part that we are working on. The other thing that we are working on is handling phone calls. So far, everything that we've been doing. So we have physical letters. So you mentioned birthdays. Many people are using our system to not only send emails as for birthdays, they're sending like birthday physical letters, also for recalls and all those kind of things. Letters work really, really magical. But we have letters, we have emails, we have push notifications, we have SMS, we have MMS, and we have many different types of communication, but so far we haven't had phone calls. So what we are doing is that we are adding phone calls to the system, and it is much more sophisticated than just a channel. It will be like a little assistant to the reception desk that it will tell them when they need to call who and gives them a little bit of script of who they need to call. And if someone calls back, it tells them, okay, this is, you know, Kathy Love calling and this is the history and this is the script that you need to go through. So it makes it much more easier for clinics to be able to handle their phone calls. So it will be added as another channel to our system. And that is something that we are really keen to release very soon. I don't think it's going to come in August, but hopefully the month after that, we will add that.
Goodness me. Gosh, no wonder you're busy and work so hard. Gosh. I reckon it will be absolutely critical to get you back on the podcast early in 2020. We said last week, we haven't spoken for ages, but at the rate you guys are going, we're going to have to make sure that everyone knows what your latest developments are. So are you up for a chat early in a few months' time?
Yep, sure thing.
Cool. I'll let you have the final say. How, if people are a little hesitant about the setting up and the getting going with Clinic Apps, what are some, you know, good ways for people to kind of get familiar and comfy and get a start on it?
Yeah, have a chat with us. Just go to clinicapps.com, click the chat button, have a chat with us. We will help you. that's basically what I can say. We will help you in every direction that we can. Like we provide free demo sessions, we set up things for you, we have lovely support staff. So have a chat with us, and please feel free to have a chat with me. Just in that chat button, just say, "Hutan, I want to talk with you." I'll definitely make sure that I will make time, and I will help you in every way that I can to be able to set up all of these systems for you. It's not really that scary, and we will make sure that our staff will take care of you, and maybe have a chat with Kathy Love too. She can also help a lot all the systems, and especially for the strategy part of it, and what to send and how to do it, and all those kind of things, because those are the parts that we don't provide. We have some basic things in our help section, but having a good consultant or coach that can help with strategizing all the automation, that's a very good thing to do, and definitely will keep something.
Thank you. What a great catch up. We've got to make sure that you're back sooner rather than later. Thank you so much, Hutan.
That's all right. Okay.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues.